One day I showed up at off-year convention, and I was in the motel, after the local motel, getting changed after the afternoon session, go back to the evening session. I'd come down with some young activists, a little older than me, but still young activists, who were involved in trying to reform the party. And I was in one of those 8x10 bathrooms, you know, they have shower, toilet, and a sink. And I got a towel on me and shaving cream, and I heard bam, bam, bam at my door really loudly. And I wondered, what the hell is that? I thought it was this guy, Bob Cunningham, on a radio show, and a couple other guys. So I said, okay, guys. And I walked to the door and opened it up, and standing there was the former governor of the state of Delaware, Elbert N. Carville, a big guy, about 6'5", talked at you like this. And the state representative who got defeated 4 years earlier as a Democratic state rep, who was retired, and one of the, from the family that had more senators appointed than any other family in American history, to the tunnels, and the former retired justice, and the state chairman. And they said, I'm standing a towel and shaving cream in my face.
What did we all just hear? Oh my gosh.
Some people saw it.
Some people were there and they saw it. Yeah. So, trying to figure out how I'm going to set the, we were just like, we don't know. We're just going to play it for the people. And you guys are all like, what does that, so that was President Biden. And if, I've never done drugs, but is that what it feels like when you're trying to figure out what is happening? It, and you're just like in this fog of like confusion and what, and you don't feel anything else because it's so confusing. Is that, that's, I imagine that's what it's like. That's
pretty,
what we,
it's pretty damn close.
Okay. Well, Wednesday, that's, there you go, guys. That's the show. Goodbye. Goodbye. Have a great day. Good night, everybody. That was the president of the United States. Why was he telling? I'm trying to figure. First, I'm made of questions right now. It's a weird news day. There's a several stories that we're following, and there's one big story that I wrote about last night. There's several stories that we're following, and there's a bunch of weird stuff. Like, what is it's the eclipse? You know what it is? It's the damn CIA. I'm telling you what it is. So, welcome to the show. It's your very confused, still lovable, but a curmudgeon nonetheless, Dana Loesch, with you here at the top of this first hour. And I am still just trying to figure out what I just heard. And me reading the transcript is not helping. Exactly. It makes it actually worse. If I'm being honest about it, it makes it worse.
How many times did you reread that last half?
I still don't understand it. Do you know something? Someone was talking this morning, and apparently they're actually doing, I'm not joking, they're apparently doing, inter-party surveying on this. So it's not like it's something that they're going to release to everybody. But apparently, whenever he goes out and talks to anybody, he does badly. It doesn't go well for him. It's just bad. He actually runs voters away. And that's making it really difficult for his campaign and the people in his campaign to campaign with him and to try to attract voters. So they're keeping him shut up. I know that they've been trying to get these debates going. And I think all of the news networks are like, oh, wow, we just realized that this could be a ratings bonanza for them. This is where you're going to see the media get ignorant. Because if you don't give the media what it wants, they're going to get you. If you don't, they want eyeballs. They need something to sell their ads on. They have ad time. They need people to buy it. It's an election year. And if they're not going to get this debate, then you're going to start seeing some negative coverage happen. If they don't get this debate, Democrats are going to have to concede this, and they're going to have to at least have one debate at least. So I don't know. It looks worse, though, the more Biden speaks. There was a Politico piece this morning. I don't know if you saw this. And it's literally called, "Has Biden Considered Having an Iran Strategy?" And it's not a good, it's a very unflattering piece because it portrays him as I mean, it's just bad. As Juan says, they better get Hunter's Coke ready. He's going to need something. Have Hunter teach him. Probably already did. Actually, who taught Hunter? That's a bigger question. So they write that, this is a sentence in Politico, which, by the way, will run Democrat oppo. It's just like their articles. Quote, "But for most of Biden's time as president, his aide's number one goal hasn't been to solve this puzzle, but to keep it off the president's desk." They said that the strategy is to keep it low boil on all fronts. Clearly, these people have never been in a kitchen. Tell me that you've never cooked anything without telling me that you've never cooked anything. Keeping it at a low boil on... Cain, did it look like a low boil?
Yeah, no.
With the drones and the, you know, the missiles and stuff that Iran was throwing over Israel's way.
Now, that'd be the definition of boiling over.
Actually. Yeah, actually, that would be. Yeah, that would be the very definition of boiling over. I mean, they can't pretend this away. Oh, it's just so bad. I mean, the Politico piece is, I'm still trying to get over that soundbite. That was the dumbest thing I've ever heard. It's one thing when you read the transcript and you're preparing a nationally syndicated radio program and you're like, okay, I'm reading the transcript because there's a bunch of other audio I was looking at. And I'm like, oh, it's Biden. It's, you know, yeah, it's crazy. Of course it's going to be crazy. It's another thing when you hear it live and you're listening to it and that guy literally has control of the nuke button. I'm sorry. I'm going to move on because, gosh. But they said that Biden has political rights. He has no strategy for Iran. He has, well, wait, I take that back. Yes, he does. Don't. Well, what do you mean don't? Uh-uh. What do you mean uh-uh? No. Okay, well, what's no? Don't. Okay, we're back to don't. Can you elaborate? Uh-uh.
Sounds effective.
Super effective. It's... I don't know. That's his strategy. That has been his strategy. Now, what that entails, I don't know. I don't know what that entails. Yeah, he doesn't either. And neither does anyone. They're just like, maybe that'll suffice. That's what the left thinks sounds like a hard-ass response. They think that. Meanwhile, I'm going to tell you what. I will tell you this. I don't care where you stand on Trump. And heaven knows that I have my critiques. Heaven knows. I don't care. I don't care about the mean tweets. Have you seen me tweet? I don't care about them. Okay. I don't care. I reveled in the fact that there was a guy, we had a guy in the White House who everyone else, all the other foreign leaders, including, let's be real, our allies, were terrified of. Not because, I don't think it's because they thought he was a brilliant strategist. I don't think that it's because they thought that he really understood the lay of the land and the geopolitical area. I think it's because they knew if you ticked him off and aggravated him enough, oh my God, he'd probably press that button on you. And that scared them half to death. I mean, you had Short Stack down there in the Pacific in North Korea who was terrified to do anything because Trump would say, I'm going to rain rockets down on you. I mean, he would just tweet it. He didn't focus. He would just tweet it. And it freaked out the Pentagon and the Department of Defense. But it terrified every other leader. So they were like, well, let's maybe just chill for a little bit. Because he actually might be nuts enough to do it. Oh, no, he is nuts enough to do it. I mean, it was just, it's fascinating. As Cain said, peace through unpredictable strength. So I would take that over don't. And then trying to walk off the stage, but you don't know where to go because you're barely sentient. I want the everyone's terrified of us because the Americans have a crazy leader. I want that again. Because that was peace, right? Like that's nobody really wanted to do anything. I mean, sure they might, you know, rattle the saber, but they're not really gonna do anything because who knows? He may be mad about it while he's eating breakfast at Mar-a-Lago and press a button. They don't know. So to me, Kane, that's a strategy. Yeah. That's a strategy. Oh my gosh. I haven't talked much about the Trump trial and all that because I don't care. And you guys are besieged with it. You guys have cable news covering it wall to wall like it's a little Jessica that fell in the well. You guys cover it enough. Juan and Steve have no idea what I just said, Kane.
No, they don't.
That was the first time, sidebar for a minute, humor me. I think that was like the first time that it was real time, everyone was following along. And you know that if Twitter existed back then, it would have been well experts and baby Jessica's in experts. Right? It would have been, yeah, you would have had a whole bunch of well experts. That's that little girl that fell down the well in Texas. I was in elementary school when it happened. And I remember watching it. It was just wall-to-wall coverage. And it was a big thing. And they finally got her out of the well. She was trapped in there for, what, like 2 days? Something crazy. She fell in the well in her backyard playing. And it was a big thing, big ordeal. Wall-to-wall coverage. The first time it predates OJ, it predates all of that. It was the first time wall-to-wall coverage. And everyone was just obsessed with baby Jessica in the well 2 days straight. I mean, Oprah did a thing on it. It was everywhere. And cable news is really treating the trials kind of like the baby Jessica in a well. So you're kind of like, wow, what else is happening? I mean, I get it. You know, the LA riots were like that too, but that happened after. So this, yeah, baby Jessica in the well was like the first time that really, can you imagine the insufferability of Twitter if it had been around then? Jiminy Christmas. We probably had a civil war a lot earlier. I'm just saying, well, I'm an expert on a well. No, you're not. Your parents had a well. Shut up. So it's true.
I feel well.
Yeah, I feel seen, right? So they have the Mayorkas impeachment. This is ongoing as well. I really feel like the House, I feel like Johnson needs to deliver on this. They're demanding, Republican senators are demanding a full trial in this. They're beginning this impeachment trial because, you know, the House kicked it over. And so they're demanding a full trial. I would love for the cameras to be there. I want my sound bites. I want the memes from his goofy face. I need all of it. Senate won't touch it because Schumer wants to table it. He wants to keep it. That's the last thing that they want going into an election is Mayorkas sitting here talking about all the ways that he failed keeping the border secure. They don't want to talk about that. I mean, you blame them. Now, 2024, you saw this headline last night before we go into headlines. We're going to talk about this coming up. George Soros. Yes, he owns a bunch of Odyssey stations. Don't take me off, you status. George Soros drops 60. Am I not supposed to say that? Am I going to make a headache for everyone? Because I exist to put wrinkles and stuff. I mean, I've got a bucket of wrenches and I'm ready to throw. George Soros has dropped $60 million into Democrats' war chest. It's the second biggest donation of 2024. You know he's going to do it again. Because, see, there's not a limit when you're doing to these groups like this. It is if it's like a direct to a candidate. But he's spending big. He's the guy who's bankrolled all of the judicial rot, all of the restorative justice, all of that stuff. He donated $60 million to a Democracy PAC that he uses. So we're going to talk about this coming up because Republicans need to get ready. I swear to you, if I hear one more thing about, I want a new House Speaker, can you guys maybe raise some money first? Be great. It's the folks at Caltech, and you guys are very familiar with the Sub-2K. We've talked about it for months and months now. The Sub-2K, which is a 9mm carbine. They make a lot of stuff, but the Sub-2K right now, this is Gen 3, so there is an update. They made some updates to it. They've got some upgrades, and one of the upgrades, you can still fold it in half. They didn't do away with that. I mean, it's still, yes, you can still do gun origami. It's a twist and fold motion of that patent pending rotating forearm, but you can keep your optics on. That's the difference, because previously you had to take everything off, detach it to fold it in half. You do not have to do that now with the Gen 3, and it just as quickly and easily deploys as well. And they've also upgraded the aluminum trigger. It's redesigned mechanics, so it's a light and 5-pound pull. They've upgraded action, redesigned operating handle for added comfort, lightened action for easy racking. You got an ambidextrous bolt hold open, all provides improved manipulation. They have a new chamber indicator. Now, it's not a replacement for standard safety, but it helps operating it. And also made in America, right there in Florida, Florida-based, family-run, owned and operated Kel-Tec. So you got to check them out. That's Kel-Tec Weapons, Keltec weapons.com. Tell them Dana sent you.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
So a Boeing whistleblower says the 787 fleet should be grounded. So it doesn't make me nervous at all. It's not at all. A Boeing engineer said in an interview he thinks that all the 787 should be grounded to allow for proper safety checks of the plane. which obviously they've come under fire in recent months. It was he was on NBC and he said, yes, he goes, you got to have attention to it. You got to check these gaps to make sure you don't have any kind of potential for premature failure. Yeah, that's great. Let's all get on a plane. Feels totally safe. Sesame Street workshop writers unanimously authored a strike and they're going to walk out Friday if no deal is reached. There's a Michael Jackson meme about, or not Michael Jackson, sorry, a Michael Jordan meme about Plankton Kids. It's Sesame Street right now. Writers at the workshop, they've unanimously authorized a strike against the nonprofit. Wait, is it PBS that they're, so it's the government? So they said that they're deeply committed, the writers at Sesame Street Workshop, blah, blah, blah. And, yeah, there you go. So they're negotiating. They're trying to get a new contract because it's so hard to write this stuff, you know, with the puppets in it. Yeah, so, you know, melatonin. Why are people giving their kids melatonin? Can you just not? Can you just raise your damn kids and quit trying to drug them up? Oh, but it's herbal, so it's better. So is hemlock. Stop. Melatonin makers are urged to follow new packaging and labeling guidelines to protect kids because their moron parents won't do it. So now they said that there's been a rise in emergency room visits because there's been all this ingestion of melatonin, some of it accidental, by kids. So it's the Council for Responsible Nutrition, which represents some stuff I don't care about. And they said that if it's melatonin, you know, you need to have child deterrent packaging, blah, blah. Or maybe, and here's the thought, maybe you could just, I don't know, keep your stuff out of the, you know, out of reach of the kids. That would be great. All right, we got more on the way, including a huge Second Amendment story you need to be aware of. Stay with us.
Hi, I'm Margaret, a rhetoric and media major at Hillsdale College. Here's Hillsdale President Dr. Larry Arne with a Constitution Minute.
Many argue today that the Constitution is outdated because it addresses problems peculiar to the 18th century so long ago. And some of it does read sort of quaintly. But consider the injunction against titles of nobility in Article 1, Section 9, for example. Is that so outdated? The purpose of that injunction is to prevent the government granting special privileges for partisan reasons. This strikes at the rule of law, the rule under which we're all to be treated the same. The crony capitalism so common today, where the government gives favors and tax dollars to some businesses and advantages over others, is exactly the kind of thing the Constitution was meant to prohibit. The Constitution is not outdated at all.
To learn more and get a free pocket Constitution, visit ConstitutionMinute.com.
Someone go tell Kermit it's definitely easy being green. While the left blames corporate America, not only are green companies not paying taxes, they're getting $1.8 trillion of your taxpayer money. Why did we pass the Inflation Reduction Act again?
Check out the Watchdog on Wall Street podcast on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcast.
Looking for the drive-through version of The Dana Show? Check out the best highlights from every show and Dana's Absurd Truth podcast, posted daily from The Dana Show.
Part of what I think has bogged this situation down and has not allowed for the kind of smart policy that we know can happen is because people, some, are pushing a false choice, which suggests you're either in favor of the Second Amendment or you want to take everyone's guns away. I'm in favor of the Second Amendment.
No, you're not.
And I believe we need assault weapon bans.
Right.
We need background checks, universal background checks. We need red flag laws.
No, you're not a fan of the Second Amendment. You're not a fan of the Fourth Amendment, the Fifth Amendment. I mean, we can go on because you can't hold that position and then say that you are. Because and particularly when they can't even define it. That's Kamala Harris, the vice president. That's just a recent remark she made just a couple of days ago. Welcome back to the program. Bottom of this first hour, Dana Lash with you. If you signed up for my newsletter, you get all kinds of good stuff out of there. And something I sent out to you last night because of a verdict that was rendered last night. And I got to tell you, I was pretty shocked by this. New York is such a fallen state. And I don't advocate for people abandoning fallen states. I do advocate for you getting involved as much as humanly possible and taking it back, because you can't just keep ceding ground and running from fights. And New York's got some really stupid laws, and they're in the courtroom over a lot of them. I'm not going to get into the weeds with all the different things that have happened since Bruin and everything else. But what they did last night, and he was a guest on our show in February, Dexter Taylor, aka Carbon Mike. And he's a Second Amendment enthusiast. I don't say this as a pejorative. He's a dork. He's like one of those guys who loves, I bet How It's Made is his favorite show. He loves putting things together. He's really into engineering. He loves to understand how things work. And he loved cars. And when he figured out about making his own firearms, that really interested him. And he thought it was fascinating the way everything goes together and all the stuff that you can do. And so he started doing that, even started doing it, you know, before New York started passing all of these insane laws, trying to purposefully make innocent people into felons. And so he was on the show in February because the state of New York had NYPD and the ATF raid his home, bust his door in, because they were accusing him of making ghost guns. Now, you have to understand, the accusation was predicated upon their belief and, again, another accusation that he was like somehow distributing or selling these guns, which he absolutely wasn't. I mean, Taylor is an innocent man. He has no criminal record at all whatsoever. And he was not selling the things that he was building. And by the way, that is protected under federal law. I don't give a rat's backside what your state wants to pass. The ATF, this is 18 USC 922O, that's subsection O, subsection P and R, and it gets into 26 USC 5822. A license is not required to make a firearm sold for personal use. A license is only required to manufacture firearms for sale or distribution. Furthermore, you do not have to serialize your firearm that you are making if it is for your own personal use. That's something that manufacturers used to use to track product. And then the government came in and decided to exploit it and use it as a way to sidestep any kind of federal law prohibiting a registry. So this is what they're going after. This is what they're going after Dexter Taylor over. And so he was found guilty yesterday. He was found guilty yesterday, and he was sent to prison. He's in Rikers right now. They're going to try to put him away for 18 years. 18 years. This is just one of the craziest things I've ever read. So the state of New York thinks that he's a dangerous felon because he's a gunsmith. And he was looking at, he wanted to actually at some point get his FFL, and he was building up to that. He was exploring weapons science. He was looking at all of the different ways you can do things better. And this is really one of the coolest things about the firearms industry, is so many of these manufacturers are small mom and pop shops, and they all are looking at ways to do it better. And he was getting to the point where he wanted to become an FFL and he wanted to leave New York. This is one of the things he was talking with us about. Well, he was using his credit card to make purchases of legal products to do his legal activity at home. It would be like me using my credit card to purchase yarn, and then I'm crocheting at home for my own personal enjoyment. And then NYPD and ATF came and raided his home, knocked his damn door in, and decided to take him to prison. And now he's convicted, and he's looking at 18 years. They took him immediately into custody last night. He's in Rikers right now. The same ATF, by the way, that helped raided his home. This is the same ATF. Yes, they do love shooting dogs. That had such lax security that they literally allowed a security guards to steal guns from their National Firearms and Ammunition Destruction Branch for 3 years straight. There was an Office of the Inspector General report that came out in September of 2022. Headline: DOJ OIG, Office of Inspector General, releases report on the ATF's disposal practices. And they said that they noticed that thousands of firearms, firearm parts, and ammunition had been stolen from the ATF from 2016 to 2019. And that it required a DOJ, OIG, ATF, and DHS investigation. And they found that security guards convicted these people in connection with these thefts. The ATF could not keep their own stuff on lock. Thousands of guns, ammunition, and parts stolen. Thousands. These are the same people that want to bust up into your house if you're making things for your own hobbyist enjoyment. I've never had a gun stolen, but the ATF has. Same ATF. And this is, by the way, also the same ATF, as you know, that has zealously worked to revoke the federal firearms licenses, which I'm going to explain in a moment. Those are called, that's when I say FFL, that's what that means. Since this administration, since Biden took office, there has been an over 500% increase in the revocation of licenses. And do you know what the number one cited reason is? Clerical error. Oh my God. Paperwork. They're not going after enforcement of criminal activity. they're going after reduction. They want to reduce FFLs. So see, if the voters, if the American people aren't just going to give their Second Amendment away, then they'll try to do it in a bureaucratic fashion. The government will. Yes, the ATF, very, very eager to do this. Lee Williams wrote how previously, you know, usually you would have a revocation of maybe on average 40 licenses a year. But in the 11 months, when Joe Biden took office, within that 11 month period, they revoked over 273 FFLs. And that's just in one 11 month period, his first year. It's skyrocketed since then. I can't tell you, and because it's an ongoing litigation, I'm not allowed to tell you, well, I don't want to jeopardize their cases. If you guys knew the number of manufacturers and FFLs that have personally reached out to me and explained to me the way in which the ATF has been harassing them relentlessly, it's not about enforcement. It is about intimidation, and they want to shut them down. You would fall over if you knew the number of people who have reached out to me personally to share with me how the ATF has been harassing them, making their lives a living hell, and trying to take away their FFLs, and they've done nothing wrong. Meanwhile, the ATF allows for thousands of guns to be stolen from their own property because they can't keep their stuff on lock. Same ATF. So this is who raided Dexter Taylor's home. And the main justification, as I told you, for all those revocations is paperwork errors. Now, the state argues that Dexter Taylor should have obtained a license to make his own firearms. Now, a lot of this stuff that New York is doing, they're trying to, which is, I mean, technically, they're not actually allowed. What they're trying to do is say that, well, a perfectly legal action, activity that has been legal up to this point that you've done, you know, for years, we're going to decide to statewide, we're going to try to ban it, and then we're going to try to retcon it and not grandfather all of your past activity in, and then try to convict you for what you were doing when this was legal. That's what New York is trying to do. There's a name for that, and there's actually court cases against it. But so you have the state trying to fabricate criminality for an innocent man that has a clean record. And they're doing this. New York does not hand out licenses. I talked to a friend of mine who hosts his own primetime show on Fox News. And I've had to talk with him about getting his license. And he was waiting, oh gosh, it was over a year. Says, oh yeah, oh yeah. It is insane. They make it prohibitively impossible for you to get a license there. And that was just to carry. He wasn't going to try to make anything or receive anything. New York is not in the habit of granting licenses, and they don't grant licenses. So then they can say, if they think that you're doing something for which they would have had to grant you a license, they try to it's entrapment. They want to get you and make you into a felon. Dexter Taylor has literally no offenses ever. He probably has a cleaner record than some of you listening to this program right now. And they're trying to make him into a felon because of this. This is a civil rights story about a natural rights issue. And because race is so very important to the left in these stories, where is the left out in the street protesting the case of a black man who's being unfairly targeted by the state? Where are the protesters out in the street claiming injustice over the case of an innocent black man who was targeted by the state, had his door knocked in and raided? Where are the people who were out there in the street for Breonna Taylor? Where were the people who were out in the street for George Floyd? This is an actual rights activist who is innocent and has been bullied and harassed and persecuted by the state. And I dare say, I would venture so far as to say that he was specially targeted because he is a black man exercising his Second Amendment rights. And there's nothing that progressives historically hate more than free black Americans exercising their Second Amendment rights. And if you don't believe me, I dare you go back and look at the decision of Judge Roger Taney. Where are the protests? Where are the hands up, don't shoot people at for Dexter Taylor? He didn't do anything wrong, but he's being bullied and targeted and harassed by an administration where the vice president has put more people of color in prison than any other AG in California really before her, and the president of the United States who eulogized a Klan member. Because I know the left is really big on this, so let's check the boxes, shall we? The left is always silent on constitutional abuses, particularly when it concerns the Second Amendment, and particularly when it concerns the Second Amendment and people of color. You won't hear them on that. You won't hear them. Otis McDonald, did you ever hear the left celebrating Otis McDonald? Are there any statues to Otis McDonald anywhere in Chicago? Do y'all even know who Otis McDonald is? Because the media won't tell you. They don't care. Why? Because it was a black American who lived in Chicago who wanted to exercise his Second Amendment rights. And they don't believe that the Second Amendment is a legitimate right. So they treat it like a second class right. And they treat people who advocate for it like second class citizens. Otis McDonald single-handedly took down the gun ban in Chicago. A veteran who lived in a bad part of town and who did not want to move because he had lived there and raised his family there and he wanted to stay there. He wasn't going to let the criminals win. And he saw his neighbors being attacked and robbed and mugged and assaulted and he was tired of it and he wanted to be able to carry a gun for his own protection. And I dare say this guy, Otis McDonald, was more trained and had better sense than some of the people wearing the badge carrying it. No offense, but he did. And Lisa Madigan, the AG in Illinois in the city of Chicago, said no. So he had to take him to court and he won. He has since passed, God rest his soul, but he's a hero. A civil rights activist, but it's for a natural right. He's a natural rights activist because these are rights that are not created by men for men in a court of law. They are rights that you have by way of being an American citizen. They are taken out of the domain of man. So man cannot pervert them, man cannot pollute them, and he cannot take them away. The left doesn't want to acknowledge this. You don't hear a lot about Otis McDonald. You're not going to hear anything from the left about Dexter Taylor. There will be no protests. You will not hear Al Sharpton talk about Dexter Taylor. You will not hear his name on MSNBC. You will not hear Jake Tapper talk about him on CNN. There will be no CNN town halls for Dexter Taylor. You're not going to have MSNBC do an interview with him from jail like they did Avenatti. No, because see, Dexter Taylor is the wrong type of activist, the wrong type of advocate, and the wrong type of American. That is why. The left is showing you who they are by who they don't support. They're showing you how seriously they care about natural rights by how quiet they are when those rights are severely abridged. They're showing you that they really don't give a rat's ass about police violence or any kind of government violence when they stay silent when an innocent man has his home broken into by the federal government, by the state government, the ATF and NYPD on behalf of New York State, raided and tossed into Rikers for nothing. He's in Rikers with murderers and rapists. An innocent man who has done nothing wrong. And you're not going to see any big gun rights groups take up his cause publicly either because they're afraid. They feel like, oh, the case might be too complicated. We don't know how to talk about ghost guns. That's not an easy sale to put up on the big screen at our fancy luncheons. So they're not going to say anything either. And they never do. So that's the case of Dexter Taylor. An innocent man who is facing 18 years in prison for doing not a damn thing wrong. Hands up, don't shoot indeed, right? We're going to talk to Jeff Charles from Red State about his case later on. And there, I'll share with you ways to donate to his case. Because if anyone needs legal help, it's Dexter Taylor. And this case could set a precedent that may affect you one day. And it may not even be about guns. So you better be paying attention. Guys, there's still a chance that the economy can get worse. Yay! That's why you should add, as a hedge against inflation, gold and silver with GoldCo. It can be very confusing to navigate the whole, you know, gold IRA, the whole field. It's oversaturated. There's a lot of people in there, but GoldCo is a company that you can trust. And when you look at the instability increasing day by day, you got to diversify. Protect your savings. I've done it with precious metals like gold and silver through GoldCo. Now, they have a free 2024 wealth protection kit. You can learn how to possibly get $10,000 in bonus silver as a listener of this program. Now, this is only while supplies last. It's a free wealth protection kit that arms you with all the facts you need about how to protect yourself with inflation, you know, potential conflict, exploding national debt. And Goldco is a 7-time Inc. 5000 winner. They've got thousands, literally thousands of 5-star reviews. And they've helped people like you and me place over $2.5 billion in gold and silver. And they have an education first stance. And they're very thoughtful about all the information, very thoughtful and thorough about everything that they provide. It's a one-of-a-kind gold IRA kit for buyers. It explains it, how all of it works. No pressure. And this is should be an important part of your overall retirement and savings strategy. Get started today at DanaLikesGold.com. Get that free gold kit from Goldco and learn how to get $10,000. What am I talking about? $10,000 in bonus silver and get your complimentary wealth protection kit. Visit DanaLikesGold.com.
Don't let FOMO get the best of you. Stay in the loop and ahead of the curve by following Dana on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Like sands through the hourglass, so are the days of the United States.
It's amazing how we had passed legislation increasing the number of auditors. Guess who wanted them all cut? No, I'm not joking. Republicans.
Wow.
We didn't want more government.
More government. Good night. Folks, so coming up next hour, we got a couple of things to talk, to talk about. We're going to talk to, I'm going to explain to you what the government is planning to make a gun registry, because it's happening. I'm going to share that with you. We got all the latest with GOP, the impeachment, everything. Stick with us. If anything were to go sideways, you do not want to be sitting here thinking about what you're going to feed your family. You know, if you're trying to survive like a natural disaster, a political disaster, or whatever it is, be smart and be prepared. And don't think like, oh, well, I'll buy something now and it'll go bad. ReadyWise emergency food. This is premium food here right from the U.S., sourced from the U.S., packed in a state-of-the-art facility here in the U.S. And this stuff has a 25-year shelf life. No refrigeration required. Easy to prepare. Just add water. And these are high-quality meals that are going to keep you and your family going should that event or should, you know, that situation, heaven forbid, arise. Or if you just like want to go hiking or you want to go hunting, you want to take a bunch of stuff. I mean, this is perfect. And like I said, no refrigeration required. These are meals at the ready. They include their 1-month supply, has a 2-bucket bundle, 36 pouches of premium survival food, all kinds of entrees, breakfast, the whole nine yards, 2,000 plus calories, 50 plus grams of protein, high quality ingredients as well. And they make it easy. When you visit ReadyWise.com, use code Dana, and you're going to save 20% on any regularly priced item. So the time to prepare is now, not after, heaven forbid, something were to happen. Visit ReadyWise.com and use code Dana20. Save 20% off of any regularly priced item. That's ReadyWise.com, code Dana20.
One of the items in this post calls for the complete abolishment of Israel. Is that a position that you endorse?
If you're asking me if I stand for human rights, if you're asking me if I stand for equality and unequivocal and unconditional right to life for all people, including Palestinians, then I'm not apologetic. I believe in what I believe, and it is because of the people around me that I've met at USC, the classes that I've taken, the professors that I have learned from, that have led me to look at the world in this way. And you know, it's unfortunate that, you know, human rights is controversial.
The reason I'm asking is because that's what the link said. It called for the complete abolishment of Israel. Abolishment of Israel was in the actual language. Is that something that you endorse?
How many ways are you not going to answer this question?
So the abolishment of the state of Israel, I'd like to clarify, is the abolishment of an apartheid system.
It's not apartheid.
Inherently is a system that subjugates Palestinians as dehumanized, and it subjugates
like
Palestinian life as not worth.
She's a terrorist. She's a terrorist supporter, and it's made up gobbledygook. And as much as I think that this bimbo terrorist, and yes, you can be book smart and street stupid, and she is, she earned her position as valedictorian. She did. It wasn't given to her. She did earn it. She's like, was she in like biomedical something or other? Do I think that she's an absolute Hamas supporter? Yes. Do I think she's a disgusting low-life meat sack? You're absolutely right. I do. I completely think that she's a disgusting cretin. And it's not her political positions that make her less than human. It's her nastiness and her raging anti-Semitism, her hatred of America, and her disgusting soul that makes her less than human. That being said, she earned her position as valedictorian. I don't know why they're making her a martyr. Because they are. Now she's acting like she's a martyr. Look at me. I'm not being allowed to. Yeah, because you're probably going to incite a terror attack. That's why. I mean, I get why they're doing it, but do I agree with it? No. USC made its bed. They can lay in it. I understand that. I think some of this stuff is too little too late. And then when you take the action of silencing someone, then you look like you're the baddie when they're the baddie, and you elevate them to this martyr-like status. And that's what they're doing. Asna Tasbum, she's an Islamic, she's a Muslim, is an activist pro-Hamas. And she was posting on social media. I mean, she was outright promoting anti-Semitism. I went and looked at her post. She wasn't just talking about the government of Israel. She doesn't believe Jews should exist. She's out there saying Israel should be completely, they don't have the right to exist, et cetera, et cetera. So she literally believes exactly as Hamas does. And so people criticized her post, and they sent links of Tabassum's post to USC administrators. And she's made her Instagram account private. She's removed her postings, which is, you know, I find hysterical. Everyone's so brave until it costs them. Principles mean nothing if you're not, you know, going to pay for it. And she gets called out on her anti-Semitism. And then she decides to try to delete everything and hide it. She's a biomedical engineering major. And guys, can I just pause right here? Her minor. I'm going to sneeze. Excuse me. Allergies. Her minor is in resistance to genocide. How is that a course study? I mean, I think every bit. Why is that a course study? Resistance to genocide. So she applied to be a speaker at graduation with 100 other applicants, people that have, you have to have a 3.9, they had 3.9 or higher, and she was chosen. And so the safety, according to the provost, Andrew Guzman, he wrote in a letter to the university community, and this is from Daily Mail, the decision is necessary to maintain the safety of our campus and students and consistent with the fundamental legal obligation to protect students and keep our campus safe, etc. And then now Tabassum says that she's being silenced and the university abandoned her, that they're no longer allowing her to speak at commencement, et cetera, et cetera. And then CARE, the Committee of American Islamic Relations, they decided to get involved. They said it's cowardly, it's disingenuous, et cetera, et cetera. But what about the Jewish? Has anyone actually given a care about the Jewish students? Everyone's bending over and kissing the butt of this pro-Hamas activist. But what about the Jewish students that she's victimizing by being a raging anti-Semite terrorist-loving meat sack? Oh, I think that when people let their freak flag fly, you should let them. I do not believe in the government sanitizing things. I want everyone to see her evilness. I think she's evil. I want everyone to see how evil she is. I think that she promotes hate. I think she promotes anti-Semitism, and she tries to mask it by saying that they're going actually targeting her when it's her and her social media, very public postings, where she has targeted her other students and tried to make the campus, through her activism here, seems like she was trying to make the campus more uncomfortable for her fellow students who happen to be Jewish. That's what it seems like to me. You can smile as much as you want. I mean, even the devil can quote scripture. But I think that colleges should stand up to students when they do this. But I also think that she earned her position, and I actually don't think that she should be barred from speaking. Now, if the college wants to say, we want to know what your remarks are going to be before you give them, because you've literally been promoting, like trying to incite like anti-Semitic rage. And she had a ton of stuff on social media. You guys didn't see all of it. They only showed the nice stuff. They only showed you the nice stuff on cable. I think they have every right to do that. But don't make her a martyr. Because that's what these terrorists love. They want to. And yes, when you talk like that and when you're defending a terrorist group, there's no gray area. You're a terrorist. Don't make these people martyrs. Now, couple of other things to touch on. Last segment, I was explaining to you, we talked about Dexter Taylor's case, and I had made mention of, I'm going to talk about that in a minute, the FFLs. Because the federal government wants to, they want to create a registry. But it's illegal to create a registry. That's true. It's very illegal to create a registry. But that doesn't mean that they're not stopping. In fact, one of the things that they're doing, I was telling Kane about this. I'm going to pull this up. I wrote about this the other day. The DOJ and ATF, you know, obviously work together. The DOJ came out with a, they had a 2016 survey where they came out and stated that their conclusion was that the majority of convicts that they had interviewed, that they had surveyed who were in prison, the majority of them got their firearms from the black market. So they did another survey they came out with. And this one, I'm pulling this up. It was weird because it's like they were trying to also loop in social media. And it was a study that the DOJ did wherein they said that, oh, it's still crazy that people are just, the majority of firearms are still legally obtained firearms from people who are prohibited possessors. They're still doing this on the black market. They're still getting them on the black market because they're trying to make the argument that somehow it's ghost guns or they're using social media to facilitate it. They surveyed over 8,000 of these cases, and it was something like less than 2% was facilitated by social media, and the majority of that they determined was TikTok. But Merrick Garland said this like this is brand new. Quote, this report makes clear that black market guns sold by unlicensed dealers without a background check are increasingly being found at gun crime scenes. Or at crime scenes. Yes, the black market, you absolute weasel. Yes, the black market. They're trying to argue that social media platforms are somehow driving black market sales, except, again, that's not supported by the statistics. But even then, none of this is unregulated, which is why there were cases to study in the first place. But that's not what they're going for. This is gets into my national registry. One of the things that they're trying to push, and Biden came out with this the other day when they came out with their red flag thing. They came out with their, they have a whole gun anti-gun committee. They are trying to redefine who is a seller. Now, how does this affect you? Say you just own a shotgun. Doesn't matter. You'll be affected by this. Why are they trying to redefine a seller? Well, here's why. FFL stands for Federal Firearms License. And this is all federally regulated. If you sell X amount of firearms to the point where it can be considered even a modest supplement to your income, you got to get a license. Otherwise, it's a felony and you're going to go away for a long time and pay a minimum of $25,000 in a fine. And this is one of the things they're trying to get Dexter Taylor on, even though it's like he wasn't selling anything. And there was no evidence that he was selling anything. It's this, they keep going with the loophole. That's why they keep saying gun show loophole, even though there's no loophole. A criminal act is a criminal act, not a loophole. If you have a suspended license and you still drive a car, that's not a loophole. That's a criminal act. Like if you're a prohibited possessor, not allowed to possess a gun, and you possess a gun, that's not a loophole. That's a criminal act. If you're selling somebody a handgun across state lines, that's not a loophole. You got to go through an FFL. Criminality. I mean, this is the thing in common here. So they're trying to redefine what a seller is, because right now, the way federal law stands, the government cannot keep a registry of everything you purchase. When you go and you fill out a 4473 and you buy a gun at a retailer and they run that back to the National Crime Information Center, they cannot keep track of what you're purchasing, etc. They only know that a check was done and it was at a gun store. They don't know what you bought. And that's a problem for the left and Democrats that want to know what everyone has. This is also part of their push for universal background checks. We have background checks, but they said that they want to expand them. They don't want to expand background checks. These are the same damn Democrats who fought to even improve the system. Whether you like the system and think it's legal is a separate argument. They wouldn't even improve the system that they said they needed so much. This is how you know that they're not interested in actually expanding or improving the system. They want a registry. So if they're having trouble doing it this way, they figured out that if they can redefine every single person as a seller and make you get a license, then they can have their registry. And why is that? Because in order to have your federal firearms license, you have to do a full inventory of everything that you have. And the ATF gets to come into your house a minimum of one time a year. Gets to come into your house and do a full inventory of everything you have, look at all your financials, and they keep records of all of it. There's your registry. So if they can redefine everyone as a seller and try to make it to where everyone who even has so much as a shotgun, make them an FFL, boom, registry. They don't need to repeal federal law. They can go about it this way. And that's what they've started to do. And Dexter Taylor, is the first step in this legally. Well, one of the first steps. They've been trying this for some time. That's why this case is important to you. That's why you need to pay attention about them expanding what a seller is, trying to redefine what a seller is and what it isn't. It is amazing, amazing stuff. And we're going to talk to Jeff Charles, who's been writing about this quite a bit coming up, because this is a major case and it has major implications and you need to be aware of it. The other thing that we're going to be looking at as well coming up is, I don't know if you've seen, well, we're going to get into this USC valedictorian more. Because this again, and there's a couple of situations like this. Everyone's using these commencement ceremonies as ways to make political stances. We're going to talk about some of that. We're also going to get into some of the immigration stuff, some of the border stuff as well. And no free speech in Europe. This is crazy. They actually called the police in Belgium and shut down this whole, because there were conservative voices. They shut it down. Now, you can have Islamofascists protest in the streets, and that's fine. But if you have a bunch of nice conservatives that get together at this very nice symposium, no, they got to shut that down. We're going to talk about that as well coming up. If you haven't switched to Patriot Mobile, if you're one of the people who are like, I'm not going to use Netflix because I don't want to support the Obamas, but you're using any other phone service but Patriot Mobile, you're doing more to support the Obamas than people who watch Netflix do, like three times more. Over that, actually, because this is the only Christian conservative cell phone service that's out there. I seriously do not know why people don't switch. Hands to sky, I don't get it. I mean, if you are with any other service, you are legit putting money in the pocket of Planned Parenthood. I'm not making this up. You can go to this thing called the internet and you can look it up on Open Secrets, and it shows you the political action committees of all of these other cell phone services out there and what they fund. I really don't want to have a cell phone service that funds abortion on demand funded by taxpayers or gun control, or that cuts me off at the knees, you know, with my own money. This is what you get with Patriot Mobile, though. You don't fund any of that stuff. They're like-minded. But what's even also, I think, maybe even more important is that the service is just good. It's good service and it's more affordable. So if you don't care about the politics, at least save yourself some money and this trash hellscape Biden economy and maybe switch to Patriot Mobile. They have plans to fit every single budget imaginable, and you can get free activation using code Dana. The only time it's not obnoxious to drop a name. And they have a 100% U.S.-based customer service team. It's easy to switch. Dependable nationwide coverage on all three major networks. You're getting the best service without funding the left. So visit PatriotMobile.com/Dana or call 972-PATRIOT and use promo code Dana to get free activation. PatriotMobile.com/Dana, 972-PATRIOT.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
Oh, here's a tax mystery, says Politico. Why are fewer people getting refunds? Why are we paying anything at all to the federal government? Why are we paying for the welfare of the federal Stasi, a.k.a. the NPR people? Anyway, Politico goes, oh, the number of people who owe the government's also been rising. If you're not getting a tax refund, they say that you're not alone. Nobody's really, that it's slower every year, and it's the number of people getting their money back is shrinking. Yes, but the government keeps taking more and more of our money while spending more and more and more, spending us into a hole in the ground. We're going to be entirely owned by China, who keeps buying our debt. This is insane. Market fear signals are flashing red as stocks pull back from record highs via CNBC. They report that it's been kind of a roller coaster lately, but it's not looking good. We've been talking about, you know, we had the CPI numbers last week. We've been talking about that interest rates now are not going to be cut because the CPI numbers, it's none of it's good. This half of the Iranian missiles launched at Israel were apparently duds, and nearly all of the rest were taken out by the U.S. and I think even Saudis shot them down. Interesting. I told you, remember they were like the Photoshop thing that they did the last time? Also, this is tech executive predicts $1 billion AI girlfriend industry. I didn't have time to totally get into this last time, but they say it's the girlfriend singularity and it's here. AI girlfriends.
Let's go touch grass.
Touch grass. Literally go touch grass. They're trying to make it. I get the group that's doing it that owns Tinder and all these other things. Apparently, I would imagine they're going to try to pattern it like that to have like AI dating. And that is the saddest thing I think I've ever read in my. We are literally going towards like a futuristic hellscape. All of the horror films that about stuff in the future apparently was all real. I immediately went and looked at my Millennium Falcon. I'm not going to lie. $850 Millennium Falcons and $680 Titanics Legos. Their Legos are the old stuff. Actually, you can get a lot of money for if it's either, I think, all put together or if it's still in the box. But they said now Legos are cementing the popularity of them. The Danish company that does it, it's like they're apparently the world's biggest toy maker by sales now. That's wild. And they're actually charging that much for some of these kits. Now, you know, like, nobody's 9-year-old is putting that together. That's a grown adult doing that. Coming up, our friend Jeff Charles at Red State joins us. Don't miss. Black Rifle Coffee, it's a veteran-owned and operated entity. And they've been on the show. We've talked about 2A rights. We've also talked about serving others. They support first responders. They support veterans. They hire veterans in active duty. And they actually roast their own beans. Other entities don't. They import them all. They're roasted overseas or in a foreign country, and then they bring it here and white label it. I'm not joking you. I could name names, but Black Rifle Coffee doesn't do that. They actually roast their own stuff, and they make it affordable. You are getting the best coffee because they're coffee dorks. No offense intended. But it's the best coffee that you can actually drink, and it's the only coffee that I will drink. They have Tactus Squatch is my jam. It's been my jam for the past few weeks. That's not changing yet, but you can join the coffee club. And what happens is you'll pick your roast, how often you want it delivered to your door, and you get free shipping, and you never have to worry about running out of coffee. They got ground coffee. They got the ground beans, whole beans, K-cups, ready to drink, everything that you would want, and all right here in the U.S. of A. So try it for yourself at blackriflecoffee.com. Save 20% with code Dana. Order today. Again, save 20% using code Dana at blackriflecoffee.com.
Elevate your commute, workouts, or downtime with the Dana Show podcast. Unleash the power of knowledge at your fingertips by following Dana on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back to the program. Dana Lash here with you. Bottom of the second hour, and you can listen coast to coast, terrestrially. You can stream us. You can catch us on, gosh, where are we now? Channel 347, DirecTV, the simulcast of the radio program. You can also catch us on X, Rumble, everywhere. Facebook, all the places. We were talking on and off throughout the first hour and a half of the program about this incredibly important Second Amendment case that's coming up, and it deals with Biden's war on ghost guns, which is, you know, the scary term that they like to create to describe completely legal actions that are just, you know, done by hobbyists, ordinary, everyday, innocent, law-abiding people. And we had him on the program back in February, Dexter Taylor. And as we told you, he was convicted yesterday on multiple felonies, has a clean record, never done anything wrong. He's a hobbyist, which is perfectly legal federally. But New York State is saying, uh-uh. So now they want to put him away for 18 years. That's what he was looking at. And this happened yesterday. I first heard about Dexter Taylor's case from my next guest who had written about this. And was, you know, really kind of sounding the alarm because I hadn't really seen Taylor's case anywhere. That's the thing. Like, I hadn't seen really anybody write about it. I hadn't seen it from, like, the big gun rights groups. Nobody was talking about it, which really kind of shocked me. And Jeff Charles, who is a contributor at Red State as well as Newsweek, and you can find him on X, joins me now via Skype to talk about this because he wrote about this back in December about how this innocent man from Brooklyn had his house raided, his door knocked down, and all because he was simply exercising his Second Amendment rights and doing nothing wrong. Jeff, thank you for your advocacy on this and you know, getting everybody's attention with us. Just for the latest, tell everybody what happened yesterday, because there were multiple felonies that I'm actually really shocked by this, that Taylor was convicted of. And, you know, when we had him on the show, and I don't say this as a pejorative, he's a nerd. Like, he's like an engineering nerd. He loves to, you know, put stuff together. And he really wanted to, at some point, do this as a business. And he wanted to get to that point where he understood the mechanics of it. And now he's in Rikers.
Yeah, exactly. And I appreciate you, Dana, for really highlighting this, because you're right. It's not getting the level of attention that it should be. And this could be a landmark Second Amendment case. But just to kind of give you the rundown, I've been speaking with Dexter yesterday and also his attorney, Vinu Varghese. And basically, I mean, he was facing 37 counts. Jeez. And he was found guilty of all but two that were not voted on. So they took him into custody right away. They started processing him. I'm not sure whether he's in Rikers now or if he's being sent to another place. His lawyer said that it could be one of two places for right now. But yes, he is facing some prison time. The sentencing is coming up in about 4 weeks. And I'll tell you this, Dana, I mean, the trial itself was the prime example of a kangaroo court. It was clear from the beginning that the judge was siding with the prosecution just in how they treated the defense and all of that. They definitely have an agenda here that is just beyond just like a normal trial.
And I'm not shocked when I, especially after I was looking at the arguments that the prosecution was making. So for people who, you know, maybe they didn't catch last hour, Taylor, he's a hobbyist. I mean, it's perfectly legal. And this existing federal law, ATF, it's legal if you're a hobbyist. I mean, this is all federally regulated. If you're just doing it for yourself at home, I mean, that's no big deal. If you're going to sell it, you got to serialize it. And if you sell it to a certain point where it accumulates a percentage of your income, even supplemental, then you have to go out and get your federal firearms license, your FFL. And he wasn't doing any of these things. There was no evidence that he tried to sell anything. There was no indication that he even had the intent to sell anything. But what New York is doing is they're going and redefining, Jeff, everything from what is considered a gun through the ATF, whether a receiver can be considered a gun by itself. If you just have an unmilled piece of aluminum, that can be, that's a gun. It's a gun right there. And that's how they're trying to redefine this and then apply the law ex post facto and make felons out of innocent people. Do I have this correct?
You have it absolutely correct. And I mean, I read the affidavit. The way they even found out about Dexter is because they pressure a lot of these gun manufacturers who sell parts, which, like you said, it's perfectly legal to buy these, but they pressure them into giving over the data. They go through it. They see that all these parts are going to one address. They get onto Dexter, and then they bust them for doing something that is not against the law, that is not harmful to anybody. But one thing that I've learned through this whole trial, Dana, is that New York, their system is set up to where the Constitution doesn't even matter. It isn't even relevant. Federal law is not relevant. They would not even allow the attorney or Dexter to bring up the Second Amendment during the trial. The judge admonished them multiple times not to even mention the Second Amendment. So you can see how New York's legal system is working, especially when it comes to violating certain natural rights that they don't think we should have.
I'm trying to wrap my mind around this. We're talking with our friend Jeff Charles of Red State Newsweek. What you just said, Jeff, the defense couldn't even mention in a case where it's really about firearm rights. They couldn't literally mention the Second Amendment and were admonished for doing so.
Yes, multiple times. It is very clearly a Second Amendment issue. It's also a property rights issue. He has the right to do what he wants to with his property. But yes, they would not even allow him to mention the Second Amendment. It was completely irrelevant to them. The judge even said to the jury that jury nullification is supposedly illegal in New York. So even if they wanted to acquit him, they have to go by exactly what the law is, even if those laws are unconstitutional. Like I said before, Dana, this was a kangaroo court or specifically designed to convict him case.
We're talking about this Dexter Taylor case, and I've written about it. Jeff's written about it at Red State. I have it up on my Substack as well. And we also have links to the Gibson Go, which he's going to need help with because of the legal bills, I can only imagine. They were telling, the state was telling him, his defense team, Jeff, that, well, he should have gotten a license. New York State, where, from what I understand, my knowledge of their licensing, I have a friend who hosts a program, a primetime program on Fox News. And this person's very well known, very famous person that was having trouble and waiting 15 months just to get a license to carry. And I'm thinking, you're on television. People know who you are. And if it's that difficult for you, and clearly this person had crazies coming to their property, all this stuff. And if it's that difficult for you to just get an LTC, I can't even imagine what it's like if you're trying to become a retailer, which Taylor wasn't even trying to do yet because he wasn't distributing or selling. So, Jeff, and then that brings up this dilemma. They say that you need something that they're unwilling to give. So because they're unwilling to give it, then you're the felon.
That is exactly how the scheme runs, Dana. You outlined it perfectly. After the Supreme Court's Bruin decision on New York and California, other states had to revamp their laws in a way where they can still violate our right to keep and bear arms without running afoul of the Bruin decision, which they still are, by the way. But they have fixed it to where you really still can't get a license. And actually, one part of the strategy with Dexter's lawyer, Dexter compiled data showing how many times these things are rejected. Using the state's data, how many times people are rejected for getting licenses after the Bruin decision to show that, you said I should have gotten a license, but you know you wouldn't have given me one. The chances of me getting a license in New York were very small. Even though he had a clean criminal record, had done nothing wrong, like you said, So that's how the system is set up. They don't want to issue licenses, but then they want to throw you in jail for not getting one.
That's what it's amazing to me, because I can't even imagine how much this is going to cost, which then brings me to the point of the raising awareness of it. I mean, I don't know where the protests are, Jeff. I don't know why there aren't people in the streets, because we hear the phrase civil rights hero. We don't often hear natural rights hero, because a lot of people think that natural rights, particularly relating to 2A stuff, that it's like a second class right, which it's not. I mean, nobody celebrated Otis McDonald in Chicago when he beat their handgun ban. Nobody celebrates Rhonda Izzell. Maj Touré. Nobody celebrates, you know, people like Dexter Taylor, who, I mean, this case, as you said, when you joined the program, Jeff, you're right. This is a landmark case. Where are the protests for an innocent man that the state is harassing, targeting, persecuting, busted down his door, stole his property, and now he's facing 18 years in prison? Where are those activists?
Yeah, almost 20 years they want to take from this man's life for building guns that he didn't even use. It's been very, very disappointing to me, Dana, seeing that there's a lot of, you know, gun rights organizations, activists, and just people who aren't really paying attention to this and or not really taking this up. There should be huge protests. I mean, look at what happened in New Mexico when that governor tried to ban guns in Albuquerque. You had people show up and protest. That was good. We need the same thing for Dexter Taylor. And not to be so doom and gloom, there are efforts behind the scenes to get this out there more. So I think we are going to see more of a campaign for this. Because this is just an egregious violation. And honestly, Dexter could have taken a plea deal. They offered him 8 years. So he could have taken it. He refused because he understands the importance of the Second Amendment, and he's ready to fight this thing until the end, knowing that he would have to at least spend some time in prison with murderers, rapists, and thieves, because he wants to fight against this. We all need to be rallying behind Dexter Taylor, because it's not just about him. It's about the rest of us. We need to fight for his freedom as if we're fighting for our own, because it very well could come to that. And it will come to that if we don't rise up. So we do need to get more people involved. And I think it's going to happen.
I hope so. I really hope it does. And because he is, I mean, he's making a major sacrifice for everybody's rights. Jeff, don't you think this goes into part of the scheme from the Biden administration using the ATF to redefine who they think a seller is? Because I think since federal law prohibits the government from creating a registry, they're figuring, well, if we're not able to go about it that way, if we make it to where everyone has to have an FFL, well, you got to have a registry for everybody to have an FFL, because the ATF has to come and check your premises. They got to do a full inventory of what you got. So if people are going to be a federal firearms licensee, there's your registry right there. I feel like this is part of that strategy. What is your take?
It is 1,000%. Part of that strategy. I mean, I brought up the judge before, but this case has gotten the attorney general of New York. I've heard that even the governor is aware of this case. So I do think it's part of what the Biden administration is trying to do, that geriatric authoritarian in the White House can't get stuff passed through Congress because of the makeup of the House and the Senate. So he's going through the executive branch. He's trying to use the ATF. And what you just mentioned as far as the FFL thing, that's just the latest in a line of things that the Biden administration has tried to use the ATF to stop people from selling guns, buying guns, owning guns. It's a very insidious agenda, and it's more subtle because it's not being done through Congress. So people don't really understand what's happening. But your right to keep and bear arms is under attack. I think that we're winning as far as changing minds on this issue, but it doesn't matter if we change those minds if we're not willing to take action at the local, state, and federal level to stop these attacks on the Second Amendment.
What you said is so important, that it's not as obvious because these bureaucratic agencies are doing it, and we don't see it in Congress, and we don't see it flashed up on the screen and for C-SPAN and all of that. That's incredibly important. Jeff Charles, please keep us updated about this. I think we're talking to Dexter Taylor's attorney tomorrow. I know he has a Gibson Go, but from what you've talked to him, what can be done right now? What does he need?
Right now, he needs awareness. He does need money, so he does have that give, send, go, because, I mean, they're already going to appeal it, and they plan to even take this up to the federal Supreme Court if they have to. So it's going to need a lot of money, a lot of prayers, and a lot of support. And Dexter is staying strong. Even before he knew that the verdict was in, he was asking about things going on in my life. I'm like, no, I'm fine. You're the one facing prison. We need to talk about you. I mean, this is the type of man Dexter is. He does not deserve this, and we need to rally behind him with money, with support, prayers, well wishes, and we'll also be discussing other ways that we can help to support as well.
Awesome. Jeff Charles, so appreciate you, my friend. Thank you for raising awareness and bringing this up to everybody's attention. We're going to keep following this case, and I know we'll talk with you again soon. Thanks so much.
Thanks for having me.
Of course. We have more to come, folks, as we wrap up this second hour, and we'll make sure that we get all that out there. If you subscribe to the newsletter over at Substack, the Give, Send, Go is updated at the bottom of that piece, so you can go and access that. You can go to the just go through your browser, and you'll find it. Because even if, and I know, I think it's Firearms Policy Coalition, FPC, that said that they were planning something. They were looking at legal options. And there are going to be a lot of attorneys, a lot of people that are going to help pro bono, but then there's going to be some things that he's going to need money for. He's taken a beating for everybody on this. So we're going to continue watching this case, and we'll give you updates regularly on it.
It's his life mission to make bad decisions. It's time for Florida Man.
All right, so we got to talk about this guy immediately. This sounds like, I swear, this was an Always Sunny in Philadelphia episode, I think. A Clearwater Beach tour boat captain was so drunk on the job that he fell off the boat, say police. He had 30 customers on board, and apparently he was so liquored up, he done fell in the water. John Beckwith was arrested Friday on a charge of boating under the influence. And the captain for Clearwater Fun Boat Tours had 30 customers on board. And he was so impaired, say witnesses, that he fell off the boat. When Clearwater police arrived, Beckwith was apparently, he said, stumbling and had food all over his face via the arrest report. His eyes were bloodshot, and he smelled like a can of beer. They said he performed poorly on a sobriety test and blew 0.118 on a breathalyzer. So, yeah, he was drunky drunk. He's been convicted in Michigan and Arizona for DUI twice in Michigan, one for extreme DUI in Arizona, which I didn't even know they had that classification. This is his fourth charge for operating any kind of like vehicle while impaired. And so I don't know. The tour boat company didn't say, it hasn't given a comment, but I'd imagine that he's not with them anymore. You know, I'm just going to say, just, you know. Here's one reason why you need Patriot Mobile. Florida man's trip overseas ended up with a $143,000 phone bill. A T-Mobile customer of 30 years said he alerted the carrier of his travel plans, as he always does. But apparently, when they said you're covered, it didn't mean that. They said that they were touring, where were they at? Swiss Alps. Or no, wait, no, they jumped high in the Swiss Alps. They were in Switzerland. Yeah, they did go to Swiss Alps. They were in Switzerland. And apparently, they were there 3 weeks. And when they got back, because he sent pictures and messages and stuff, he thought it said $143 and it was $143,000 for using 9.5 gigabytes of data while overseas. And because it was roaming, it cost thousands of dollars every day. So he called T-Mobile and this Florida man, and she said, no, it's a good bill. And he goes, what do you mean it's a good bill? And she goes, it's what you owe. So they're still apparently dealing with it. He had called and said that they were traveling, and apparently he wasn't covered. So again, this is why you should switch to Patriot Mobile, because I've never had a $143,000 phone bill. Because and they're all, it takes like 2 seconds to be like, hey, I'm in Italy or I'm overseas somewhere. Yeah, I know. It's been super, and I never had that problem. Of course, you know, I don't have a completely derelict communist phone company either. So there you go. Let's see. Oh, do I want the guy who steals golf carts, like all the golf carts? Or do I want the guy who stole an Elvis? Yes, do the guy who decided to steal the Elvis jacket. Uh-oh. He swiped a pricey Elvis jacket from the Seminole Hard Rock Hotel and Casino. And it was apparently Elvis's $11,670 jacket. And it has not yet been recovered. What? So apparently the guy has a rap sheet. Of course he does. Stay with us. Third hour on the way.
The first person to actually criminally prosecute Donald Trump is a black Harvard grad, the very kind of person that his former staff, somebody, the people who worked for him, Stephen Miller, etc., want to never be at Harvard Law School. But he was. And he came out and graduated. He's prosecuting you, Donald. And a black woman is doing that same exact thing in Georgia. And a black woman forced you to pay a $175 million fine that's out now also in question, because the people who put it up, that might not be legit. Donald Trump is being held to account by the very multiracial democracy.
Make her say something dumber. I'm so bored. I am bored to death. Oh my gosh. First off, wait, welcome back to the program. Top of the third hour, Dana Lash with you. I cannot stand. Sit the hell straight up in your chair. What is the, she's, if you're watching the simulcast, I'm going to do what she does. She hunches over like a cocktail shrimp.
Don't do that.
Why? Who does that?
Don't do that.
Sit up straight in your seat for the love. Nobody's shoulders slump like that with that simple jack hair. Stop it. In the world. Every time we play a clip from her show, I've never watched her show. I couldn't even tell you when it was on. Was that MSNBC?
Yeah.
Okay. I don't even know when it's on. I don't even know who MSNBC has
channel.
On.
I have no idea what channel it's at.
It's like the rec league. It's not even rec league. It's like the JV baton squad. I don't know. And every time we play a clip from her program, it's always race. Every topic. Doesn't that get tired? Like, even if you were a hardcore prog and you liked her show, doesn't that get really boring after a while? It seems like it's boring and it's stale and it's the same race stuff all over and everything.
I think it's designed just to infuriate people and get them mad.
I'm just like wondering what her back pain is like that she's got to slump over like that in her seat. I mean, and no one on every clip, it's like that. I went back and looked. I was like, why is she?
Is that why she's so joyless?
I mean, if you're slumped over like a cocktail shrimp, perched on the edge of a glass. I mean, yeah, I guess, you know, maybe you're in a bad mood because your shoulders hurt. Girls, up straight. Someone get you a pillow or something.
The last 10 seconds of what she says.
Are you going to make me listen to it? Kane is
just this, only because this is intentional and it's all geared with that DEI stuff. Like she keeps talking about.
Oh, that's right. I couldn't even make it to the sound
black
bites.
Woman, you know, got you, Trump.
Oh,
black
my gosh. Guy, go Trump ahead and play and, it. Yeah. Go ahead.
There's something poetic and actually wonderful about that. It says something good about our country that we're still capable of having that happen. Go DEI. What? My DEIs are bringing it home.
Oh, what? I don't really think that's how you use that, but okay. When the simple jack hair hell is that? All right, so for real though, you know, come on. So moving on, I want to make sure we get into it. Ooh, speaking of culture, I forgot. Now I brought this up on the show because I brought this up like in our Slack discussions because, you know, considering it's very important to the left wants to know the backgrounds of everyone on every single program. Well, according to the left, apparently everyone on the show is also white or all white adjacent, you know. But for Kane and Juan, do I have to, you're Latin now?
Hell no.
Well, that's what it says, Latin.
Latin.
That's what the new, so hold on. The new woke scolds are saying that, oh, well, it's, instead of Latinx, it's Latin now. I feel like that's going to get you kicked in the neck. Yeah. Teen Vogue actually did a whole thing.
Latin Vogue?
It's one R away from a toilet, man.
It is.
Latin, latrine. That seems really offensive. Just why? They are struggling so bad. You're going to have to rewrite the whole all the Latin-based languages because of the male-female nouns. And the wording, you're going to have to rewrite languages. But Latin, when I saw that, the first thing, everyone's like, okay, why are you calling me a toilet? Everyone, why am I a toilet? I think people are getting tired of this stuff. Why do you have to change? And what is it supposed to mean? Is it if you're like a gay Latin person, Latin, or is it supposed to signify something?
Look, it's a binary language. They're just going to have to get over it. They're trying to wipe out the idea of male female. So they hate the Latin languages that actually in the spelling and wording and the way you speak the languages indicate a binary gender system, and they just can't stand it.
I still don't even know how to pronounce Latinx, or is it Latinx? I just now thought, I think maybe we've been saying it. It's no, Latinx.
I don't think the Latinx is the way
Latinx.
To say it.
Latinx. No. It's how it's spelled. L-A-T-I-N-X.
I think the way to say it is to not at all. And also with this, not at all, say it.
Not at all. Latinx. Are you Latin or Latinx? Do you ever, sidebar, I've been to a couple places where I actually left my old allergist and went to a new allergist because they had a new form and it asked me what my gender preference was. And I'm like, blank this blank. And I'm like, here you go. I'm out. I left. I didn't even stay.
How
Screw
would that
you.
Affect
I'm su- I'm a joy to deal
how they
with.
Treat your allergies.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Like, how does, you know, but it, I did write something on the form. I'm shocked that like at least they didn't put it up in the town's Facebook page. I'm shocked because I have my name on it. And I did put something on the form because they're like, what is your preferred? And it said like one of the, it was like male, female, non-binary. And then it had like different alphabet stuff. And then, I mean, there was like 13 some odd choices. I can't even deal.
What happened to just other?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Well, no, I guess that was at the very bottom. No, it didn't say other. It said prefer not to answer. Like you can't tell. And then there was one that said other, but it was a line. I can't say what I put on there. I really can't. I'll so get fined. But I thought after I like handed it to them and I was like, here you go. And then I just left. I realized, oh, I have my name on the top of it. Well, there you go. So I'm just waiting for that. I'm telling you all now so no one can use it as blackmail on me later. Well, that's so stupid. And it, like a doc, it's an allergist, but a doctor's office for the love. So I went to my new doctor, my new allergist, and he don't play like that. He's like, yeah, this is all stupid. And he's actually a good allergist that actually solves problems, solves allergy issues like cedar fever. But why the need for all that? Why? It's nobody cares. Nobody cares unless you're going to a specific doctor for your bits. Then you should just be scientifically accurate so that, you know, you're not telling the doctor to treat issues for things you don't even got.
Right. Like if I need stitches or if I need something because of a stomach bug or whatever, that whole question of my gender doesn't matter. Just give me stitches. Just give me the medicine.
But everybody's got a virtue signal. See, we're down with the mental illness. That's what they got to do. They got a virtue signal. We're crazy too. They got a virtue signal about it. It's so asinine. You can't even go anywhere. Can you go anywhere? Yeah. So the Latin issue, the culture issue. Where did I put this up? I had another one that was on all of this. Remember how the other day we were talking about Alan Ritchson, the guy who was in Reacher? So apparently he did say all this stuff.
Yeah, he's doubling
down. He seems like an attention-seeking male bimbo.
Yep.
So I was reading this piece about him because it said Alan Ritchson fires back at people who are trolling him online. Like, this is what, don't you have like a set to be on or something? I don't know. Like, why is your he's been at odds, they said, with conservative people. He said because he called Trump a rapist and a con man, blah blah blah. But what gets me is I don't care that he said that. What I care about is the fact that he said it while acting like Mr. Christian. Right? Don't sit here and be like, oh, well, I'm gonna be a shepherd to you and I'm going to talk to you about faith. Here's my faith. And by the way, blah, blah, blah. That's a really bad witness. I don't know. But he apparently, someone had asked him because he was wearing a shirt at one point that said, arrest the cops who killed Breonna Taylor. And it was a photo of him wearing the shirt. And when he was asked about it, he sounds like a basic, dumb, progressive bimbo. He says, quote, well, cops get away with murder all the time. And, you know, we can't really hold them accountable for their improprieties. It's disturbing to me. I mean, we should, like, completely reform the way we do it. I mean, you should have to spend more time getting an education as a hairstylist than a cop. That's what he said, Kane. That was his actual quote. So then National Fraternal Order of Police heard about it, and they said that he was virtue signaling for the for attention at the expense of brave officers. And so now he's fighting with the police. So I feel like someone just gave him a thesaurus too. Because I see him using words and I'm like, That is too awkward for you to have really know that word. He was on Instagram and he like had a whole paragraph, all this stuff. And he went after DeSantis. He went after Trump. Talking about blind allegiance and all this other stuff. And he's like, he just like went off. He went off on Republicans in Florida, everything. And he just seems like a male bimbo, an angry male bimbo. I don't know how else to put it. I don't know if I'm going to be able to continue watching his show, because now whenever I see his big dumb face, I'm going to think of his big dumb remarks. And that's just problematic now. I don't care if somebody has their opinion. That's not the issue. I mean, there are people that I get along with and people whose work I watch or whose music I listen to that I disagree with like completely. And I think they're wrong, but they're not jackwagons about it. I think when you are that level of ignorant, especially to people who might be fans of your program, when you are that to people who did nothing to provoke you, they did nothing to provoke you. When you just immediately hit out with that level of like rage and bitterness, then the problem is you, not them. The problem is your issues. I mean, no one did anything to you, dude. Good night. But he sounds like a college freshman that took their first year of poli sci and now they know everything in the world. He sounds like that dude. That's a bummer. That's a real bummer. I don't know. It's harder to watch these guys in these roles.
I know. I love the Reacher stuff. And I just thought it was great to see, you know, somebody who just fits so perfectly into that role. And then you hear them talk.
I mean, he's not the best actor, but he didn't need to be.
About politics.
Yeah. And you hear him talk about politics. It's like, you're the one who's doing this, dude.
And
you're...
also, I wonder how many people are actually behind his social media posts.
Oh, it seems like it's just him.
You think?
Yeah, I mean, I don't think anybody professional.
You talked about that thesaurus, but I'm thinking somebody might be helping.
No, the words are used too. It's too awkward for it to be like a learned person. Sorry, it is. I don't mean to be ignorant. It's just an observation. You know, I didn't start it. So I don't know. This whole thing is weird.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
Okay, I got to get with the sheep one first. So apparently Axe body spray not only repels women, but it also helps grouchy sheep. I'm kidding. No, I'm not. A deodorant that's popular with dudes proves oddly useful in keeping rams from fighting. This is a Wall Street Journal piece. This is my favorite story so far of the month. So they did this thing. They studied it. They were talking to shepherds and shepherdesses about how to calm one ram that was picking on his castrated field mate. And she said this British lady, I can almost hear her ram's very ill-tempered. And so they actually used Axe body spray to calm him down. And they said it worked and it was like magical. That's the craziest thing I've ever heard in my life. Axe body spray. I don't know. They don't know. Nobody knows. I don't know. Accelerated aging may be a cause of increased cancers under people in ages 55 and under. Accelerated aging? It's not the vax, though. It's accelerated aging. Could not be the vax at all. But they said an increase in cancers among people 55 years and younger might be related to accelerated aging. But I always heard that we were aging slower because we had better up, but then the vax. It's not the vax, guys. It's not the clot shot. Repeat, not the clot shot. Oh, sorry, we're going to get demonetized. Not the lot-k-ot-che. Not that. Pig Latin counts, right? And not Latin, but Pig Latin. Anyway, they said one of the authors of the study said that we're totally not making this up. It's not the vax at all. It's accelerated aging. They didn't say that verbatim. I maybe made that last part up that they said that. But anyway, a headless body was found in Queens. I keep forgetting that there's like, you know, they had the Hudson there and everything else because there's all these shorelines that bodies are washing up on. A decapitated body was discovered washing up on Howard Beach in Queens. They said that officers responded to a 911 call just before 9 p.m. Body of a man was pulled out of the water. And they said it wasn't immediately clear how long, you know, the dude was in there, but they were not releasing his identity until family members could be notified. And they had no arrest. wasn't clear if they're investigating it as a criminal matter, but I can't imagine, like, you're just naturally, your head would come off and you'd fall into the water. You know, that just seems, that seems a little tough. So coming up, man, they are really trying to shut down conservatives in Europe. And we're going to talk about that next.
Craving a daily dose of intellectual adrenaline? Look no further than the Dana Show podcast, where curiosity meets courage, by following on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
No alternative opinion allowed. This is the updated new form of communism. And you know what? If anything ever, ever made me think that Brexit was the right thing to do, it's the events here in Brussels today.
It's the most extraordinary situation, Nigel. As far as you understand, three police officers outside right now. Do you have any indication how this event will develop, whether police will open these doors? And frankly, how will you respond if the Belgian police try to manhandle you out of this conference?
Well, you know, Tom, I'm not given to violence, so I won't avail myself of it. But no, it's pretty clear this will be closed down. They're using public order, but that actually is no excuse at all. There is no public order threat.
Do you realize that they were creating public disorder by claiming that they were trying to keep public order? And then sending in the heavies to do this. That's Nigel Farage, who was in Brussels. They had this national conservatism conference, right? Because there are conservatives in Europe. We've talked about this before. And they're desperately trying to fight back within their own countries against a number of things. The insane immigration that they're dealing with and the EU regulations that are killing their industries, like Portugal's fishing industry, etc. I mean, there's a lot of stuff there. And then in this, they were having their event. And I mean, I saw photos. I saw tons of video. People in suits and workwear going in, exchanging ideas. Nothing crazy about that. But then they sent in the police. They had to shut it down. And apparently the Brussels mayor had closed it down because they apparently disagreed with, because he's a socialist and you can't have that. This is what they're facing. And if you think it's not going to be like this in the U.S., I mean, we're kind of seeing some of that. We talked about one case earlier. Matt Maurer is the founding board member of the EU-U.S. Forum. He was also in the Trump administration, and he joins us now to discuss this. Matt, good to see you. So essentially, you have a power-hungry mayor who is, from what I gather, had hurt feelings that a lot of people who disagreed with him politically and probably also have far more influence than he does, that reaches far beyond his city's, you know, limits, all getting together in Brussels. He couldn't have that, so they sent in the heavies. That's, you know, they don't really enjoy free speech there like we do here, but that's even extreme for them.
Oh, it's outrageous. I mean, especially actually what's unique about Belgium, where Brussels is, right, is that it's one of the few countries that does have some constitutionally guaranteed free speech protections. And yet you have this wacky left-wing mayor who, you know, is so open-minded and so accommodating of other people, except if you disagree with them.
Right.
And that's exactly what happened. And you see this across the European Union. You know, just look at actually in Scotland, or across Europe, I should say, but specifically in the EU. But if you look at Scotland, they just passed an anti-hate law. But anti-hate law wasn't about anti-hate. It was anti-free speech. Mm-hmm. You're limited in what you can say in the privacy of your own home. You can now call the police to lodge a complaint against your neighbor if you thought they were saying something that was offensive. And now police are being overwhelmed with these phone calls coming in, over 7,000 or so in the first day alone that this new law went in place. And you know, it's that type of mindset and attitude where you have mayors like this mayor in Brussels who thought they could get away with shutting down something. And what was really telling was some of the comments he made where he said, I thought it would be a distraction. I thought it would be the cause of violence because they believe in nationalism and because there's Euroscepticism. I mean, it's just, it's mind-boggling. And if you don't think it's coming here, look at what's happening on college campuses. Look at the cancel culture we're seeing here in the United States already. That's where it begins, and it gets institutionalized with policies from there.
Completely. We're talking with Matt Maurer, who's been following this insane thing with this National Conservative Conference. And apparently, am I correct? It was like 3 a.m. when a judge finally made the decision. Okay, they can reconvene.
Yep. So you actually had the national court come out with a ruling overnight saying that actually this did violate Belgium's constitutional right to free speech. And again, Belgium's unique here. So, you know, if this had happened in a number of other countries in Europe, there may not have been that guarantee of free speech protections. In Belgium, it's one of the few countries that has it. The only reason why the court stepped in and actually said that the mayor and the police were over the line.
It's interesting that he cites the Euroscepticism, because when I was looking at just some of the things that were being discussed, you know, the way that EU regulations are hurting different nations' industries and undermining their own economic freedom and strength, etc., you know, immigration. I mean, this is a policy discussion, and apparently that's disallowed. They don't even want to have any kind of, that's considered Euroscepticism if you're somehow questioning the EU's policies that have led to, you know, tanking different countries' economies kind of like we're seeing here at our southern border. I mean, just a deluge of people coming through. You're not able to support it, overtaking entire areas, going through resources, creating a strain on the region. I mean, these are all real issues these countries face. Heaven forbid people get together and talk about it. They're skeptics. I mean, there's like actual hard concrete evidence here that these policies aren't working.
Yep. Oh, exactly. I mean, it's the same thing, Dana, if you go back 10 years ago. Remember, if you were someone who said, we need to actually secure the border, they said, well, you know, look, you're just being racist and xenophobic. Right. You don't know what you're talking about. If you said, you know, maybe we should actually question what's coming out of China with regards to economic policy, and then, I don't know, this little virus thing called COVID, everyone said you were crazy and you're a conspiracy theorist and xenophobic. It's the exact same thing happening in Europe right now. You question immigration, you start getting heads turned. You start questioning whether the EU should be dictating these policies out of a capital far away. And they all think you're a little nutty. I mean, I just saw Senator Claudio Borghi from Italy on Monday. He was in Washington, D.C. for meetings at IMF and World Bank. And so we got together, and he was one of the leaders of really changing this viewpoint beginning in Italy almost 10 years ago. Is when the first people step up and say, maybe we should actually question what the European Union is doing every day. Maybe we should question whether we're getting value in this in the everyday lives of us and the workers in our country. And you would have thought heads had exploded when he talked about these things, all because he had the audacity to have a difference of opinion. You right now have this go-along, get-along type of culture in Europe where everyone from the media to these centralized politicians, to obviously the bureaucracy, say, you can't question what we're doing. Yet, continuously, they're now failing the people of Europe. You see the immigration crisis and the rise of crime. In Germany alone, they have one of the highest crime rates in about 17 years or so. And nearly half of it is crime from illegal immigrants who are in their country. It's just, you. God forbid you even talk about that, though. And you might be offending someone, and therefore you should, you know, you might be violating a law.
Matt, you bring up a really good point talking with Matt Maurers at the EU-US Forum. And I've talked with people about this on this program before, because a lot of these regulations, like you're saying, that are being determined, and, you know, the EU regulations that are being these by people who aren't obviously no association with the United States, but yet it still affects us. One of the craziest stories I point to is what happened in terms with the explosion of the coronavirus, particularly in Italy, with regards to illegal immigration, because in the Prato region, where you have all the textile manufacturing, etc., and this was right when Fashion Week was kicking off in Milan, and just years before, they had a bunch of they had Chinese business people come in from Wuhan, purchase a lot of these Italian factories so they could still have that made in Italy label. But then they were bringing in a lot of illegal Chinese immigrants. And when the Italians complained, the Italians were called racist and they were shamed into speaking out about this. So then, Matt, when the virus started kicking off, they actually had one of the governors of that region who went on record and said, well, we were a little nervous about talking about the virus when it first started because we didn't want to get called racist again. That's how all of this stuff can domino affect the world.
Yep, that's exactly right. I mean, I remember calling for a travel ban from China in January of 2020, right? Like at the outset of the pandemic, because I was in the State Department, I worked on global health issues. I'd done a lot of work in global pandemics. I said, this thing's coming to us. And if we don't stop travel from China right now, it's going to arrive here. It's not going to give us the time to prepare and do everything we need to do and actually get ready for it. And, you know, Donald Trump, President Trump came out a few weeks later, said he wanted a travel ban. Everyone was xenophobic, right? Everyone was xenophobic. And then, you know, of course, Nancy Pelosi and the rest of them had a call a month later saying, well, he should have called for this earlier.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, it's a total gaslighting.
You can't win either way.
You brought up a great point about how the policies in Europe can make their way here. They are interconnected. I mean, a lot of the crazy ideas we're seeing in the United States, socialized medicine, mandates on electric vehicles that obviously don't travel that far, and actually we get all the battery components from China and the rest of it. All of those things started with discussion in the European Union, became doctrine in the European Union, and then it made its way here to the United States. And so we've got to be vigilant and looking out for it. It's why we started the EU-US Forum, to be a watchdog of what's happening in Brussels, to make sure we had someone pushing back and some organization pushing back on some of the lunacy that's happening there. Because if it cements itself there, if it gets its tentacles in Europe, it will find its way to the United States. It'll start with the far progressive left. It'll be the AOCs and the Ilhan Omars to start. Then slowly but surely, you'll see it radiate, permeate throughout the rest of the Democratic Party and into the bureaucracy and into our government. And next thing you know, we'll also be seeing a lack of free speech in this country. We'll also be seeing these EV mandates that don't work.
Yeah, and last point on that. You mentioned China as well. I know that was one of the things that was discussed. I think it was before they shut everything down, or before the mayor shut everything down. Because a lot of these countries that are a part of the EU, I mean, China's their biggest trading partner. And then when you have China coming in, pushing EVs and also trying to make deals and edge in on their auto industry as they're also trying to get a toehold here in the United States with the rare earth element monopoly. I mean, that does become, it becomes a world security issue, not just a NATSEC issue, because you're talking about empowering the biggest geopolitical foe that the U.S. has in modern era.
Right. I mean, so we've been, and we're finally moving beyond our reliance on the Mideast for oil, largely because we have natural gas out of the United States now, which is fine for our energy supply. But prior to that, we were handcuffed for our relationships in the Mideast. We couldn't actually address our own interests because we needed them. Now we have policies in the United States pushing us to drive closer links to China at a time when we're supposed to be taking them on, at a time when we're supposed to equalize the trade relationship, at a time we should be pushing them on their humanitarian abuses with Uyghurs and the rest of it. And yet, you know, you've got these left-wing policies saying, no, we need more solar panels and electric cars made with battery parts, all of which come from China, all of which the core ingredients, lithium and the rest of them, come from China. Over 80% of the ingredients needed and the materials needed for batteries we are dependent on coming from main sources in China. And by the way, every time it's discussed to find them in the U.S., some from New Hampshire, right across the border, is Newry, Maine.
Right.
Newry, Maine has the largest lithium deposit on the continental United States. And yet the same environmentalists who want everything battery powered, you know, everything, put in a place saying they want to ban mining lithium in Maine. And I don't blame them. It involves a lot of, you know, environmental challenges and the rest of it. But you can't have both. You can't have your cake and eat it too and say, well, it's okay for China to do it with a bunch of slave labor and make us economically dependent more on China. And then also say we need electric vehicles for everyone. It's just
because the pollution doesn't exist if it's in China, Matt. You know, if we don't see it, it doesn't exist. I mean, that's
exactly right.
That's the truth of it. Matt Mowers with the EU-US Forum. Would love to have you back and talk about this, especially as we get closer to the election and everybody's watching what we're doing. We're watching what they're doing. Heaven forbid. We're hoping for the best. Always good to see you. Thank you so much, Matt.
You too, Dana. Thanks so much.
We're wrapping up this third hour of our broadcast, folks. And of course, make sure you sign up for that newsletter over at Substack, because we're going to have a lot of updates there as well as it pertains to the Dexter Taylor case. All that good stuff.
Follow Dana on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts, because knowledge is your ultimate superpower.
You know, thanks to the mayor, Paige, I was going to talk about the old mayor.
What? So he gets confused reading the prompter. Excuse me, I was going to talk about the old mayor. What? Why is he so? My favorite story, though, is his endless ranting about how he was in a towel and wearing shaving cream in his motel room. Did he say motel or hotel? I think he said motel.
I don't know.
Like, see, that sounds weird. What?
With a young activist.
Yeah. I don't know. I'm just so glad I don't work on his campaign. That's all I know. Good heavens, that I can't deal with it. All right, so we make sure you sign up on Substack, because I'm gonna have all the updates, and I'll link it up on Facebook as well. I'll have all the updates to that Dexter Taylor case, and his lawyer is gonna be on with us tomorrow on the program to talk about some of the next steps, because I just think that has the potential, depending on, you know, the appeals on that, to be an absolute landmark case. I mean, regardless, it's going to landmark case, and it's going to affect you at some point, because remember, firearms are just the variable. It's a legal formula that becomes cemented And then you can just switch out the variables. So this is why you've got to pay attention to this stuff. You have to pay attention to all these things. And it's kind of unnerving, like with just how weaponized some of these agencies, particularly the ATF, have become under this administration. We're going to talk a little bit about some 2024 tomorrow, because the polls for me are still too close. They are statistical dead heat in a number of these states. And keep in mind that the Democrats have only just started to begin spending some of their hundreds of millions of dollars of war chest with ad buys. And I think they're going to do everything possible to keep Biden off the campaign trail. They're going to send his surrogates out, right? Probably not Hillary, because she's just very, very polarizing, even to her own base. But they're going to send out probably Obama, Clinton, some of these other cats to do what Biden can't do. And I think they're also going to limit Kamala. They're just stuck with her. They can't get rid of her because it's sexist or racist or sexist or something. They can't do that. They're stuck. They're stuck with her. That's it.
Maybe they can explain it to her using Venn diagrams.
Because she does love those, I hear.
She does.
You know, I mean, it's unburdened by what has been. All right, today in Stupidity King.
All right, this is Jamie Raskin. Now, Jamie Raskin is a Democrat representative, and he is making a false comparison between Biden and Trump as far as their legitimate businesses. This is how dumb they are and how dumb they think you are. Listen to this.
I will tell you this. If you believe that it would have been illegal for Joe Biden to take $5 million from Ukraine.
It was.
It certainly would have been. What do you think about Donald Trump taking more than $5 million from the Chinese government while he was president?
Well, we know that Donald Trump had a legitimate business that he talked about and campaigned
on. The legitimate business was the White House.
What
business? He sold the White House.
Give me a break. What business were the Bidens in?
Well,
what business did Joe Biden's family own? What business were they in? Did they have hotels?
Yeah, I mean, Trump had hotels, plural. That's kind of why. Good grief. Folks, that does it for us tonight. Make sure you tune in tomorrow. Find us Facebook, YouTube, like, and subscribe. Have a great night.